Hello, everyone. The title of this message is The Trumpet of the Seventh Month. And so, Father, I just pray right now, Father, for this word, Father, for the revelation of this word, Father, to go forth, to be released, to be revealed, Father, to be sown into the hearts, Father, of those that would hear. And I just thank you, Father, for the understanding, and I ask for the understanding, Father, to more and more come forth for each and every one of us, Father, to understand, Father, what you're doing and saying in your creation today, Father, and to know how to respond, Father, to repent, Father, to turn, Father, just to know what we need to do, Father, to respond to what you're revealing and to what you're saying to us, Father, by your Spirit. And so I just bless this message, this revelation, Father, and Lord, just ask for the words to come forth clearly. Holy Spirit, I ask for you to just... for the language to come forth, for the ability to communicate these things clearly, and just for those that listen, that for those to have ears to hear and to catch what the Spirit is saying, and for us to just come into the reality of these things and to continue to grow and mature in Christ. In Jesus' name, and I just thank you, Father, and bless you. Amen. So a lot of this message is... It ties in with the, you know, the manifestation of the sons of God, maturity, perfection, growing in the reality of these things. And as I was a couple weeks ago, as I was going back over the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, just looking through different resources and scriptures pertaining to the Feast of Tabernacles, and also the restoration of the Tabernacle of David, and just pondering and praying into these things, and, you know, because we're coming into the seventh month here in another little over 6 weeks. It'll be the seventh month. And so what I feel like the Lord's begun to just show me is what something that I've been sitting on for a while is the sons of God fulfilling the seventh month, the sons of God being a manifestation of the Feast of Tabernacles. And, you know, that there will be a group of people in the earth that are going to be fully tabernacled with God, just as Jesus, you know, came and tabernacled among men in John 1, that the manifested sons are going to be the fulfillment and the reality of the Feast of Tabernacles. And so the other part of the Feast of the Seventh Month is for us to realize that It is the tabernacle of David that God is restoring, not the tabernacle of Moses or Solomon's temple, but it's the tabernacle of David that is being restored. And so the more that we can understand that, and the more that we can catch the revelation of that, we will begin to, you know, grow and mature as a son, and just understand the process that we're in as he's bringing us into this place of maturity and perfection in completion in him. And so when you look at Leviticus 23, those are the feasts of the Lord in Leviticus 23. And in that chapter, the trumpet is only commanded to be blown on the first day of the seventh month. Now, in other places in Scripture, you will find that they do blow the shofar at the new moons and at other times of festivals and feasts and things like that. But specifically pertaining to the feasts and the chapter, the Leviticus chapter 23 passages, you know, it's very clear that the trumpet is to be blown on the first day of the seventh month. And so, even to begin to understand just the prophetic imagery, the types and shadows that are present, that are there for us to see and to understand, you know, because obviously Jesus fulfilled the old covenant. He was the fulfillment of those things, but there's still types and shadows. There's still things for us to see and to perceive and to know and to understand. And so one of the scriptures that I want to start with is in Colossians 2. And verse 16, it says, "So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." And so, very clearly, the feasts, the Sabbaths, the new moons, are all types and shadows of things to come, but they are all of the substance of Christ. And so last year, for several years, you know, just studying the Hebrew, kind of studying our Jewish roots, that we've been grafted in to Israel. We've been grafted in to the nation of Israel through the blood of Jesus, through the finished work of the cross. So it's really good for us to study and to glean from the Jewish roots of our faith, and to, you know, that it'll just open up so much more truth and understanding for us when we take the time to study the Hebrew and the paradigms and the culture, and just so much more truth in the reality of God, of the things of heaven and of Jesus will open up for us. And, you know, more truth. I know more truth will be revealed as we just take the time to seek those things out. So last year, as, you know, we were kind of tracking with the new moons, and we still are, and the new moons and the Sabbaths and all those things. You know, one of the questions just constantly being, Father, you know, every day is holy, you know, because every day I can commune with you. I don't have to go to a building. I don't have to go to a synagogue or a temple or a church building to meet with you. You know, I can meet with you in my bedroom and in my office. Wherever I'm at, you're with me, you know, because of the reality of being in the new covenant and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as we just, you know, as we begin to understand just that part even more and more, of just, you know, realizing, you know, Father, what is the big deal of observing a day or a feast or a month, or, you know, the times and seasons that you've revealed in the Torah, in the days that you have established according to your calendar, and you know, what's the point, what's the purpose in us observing those things? And so as I was just continuing to wrestle that out and talk with God and seek that out with him, you know, one of the things that he became clear, or he made clear to me, was, you know, that the knowledge of his ways have been lost. And it's just like he raised up Luther. He began to raise up the reformers to restore the truth that had been lost through the generations. And so we're still in a place of truth being restored. We're still in a place of the knowledge of God's ways being restored. And as we can receive or see the knowledge of his ways, and then we do what we need to do with that, we come into agreement with that, and we begin to walk that out with him, you know, I believe that's part of us manifesting as sons, is as the knowledge of his ways are revealed, the sons will walk in them. Okay? And so the other point with this to make is, and I stress this, I try and stress this a lot, is where we're going, where God is taking us, the mind of man is not going to go. Your fleshly carnal mind and the traditions in the mind of men are not going to bring you into that place of maturity and perfection in him. The only thing, the only one or thing, the only, I'll just say person, it's going to be Holy Spirit and the hosts of heaven, as we learn how to engage with the hosts of heaven and all of that you've heard me talk about in past teachings. But Holy Spirit bringing us into the reality. So it's going to be by the Spirit that we come into that place of perfection and maturity in him. And so we've got to learn how to live out of relationship to receive the revelation, so that we can, you know, go through this process, so that we can allow him to bring us through this process. So it's all going to happen out of relationship, and it's all going to come by revelation as God wills for that revelation to come, for you individually, for us corporately as the body of Christ. And I don't know if I've said this on a teaching before, but Father, whenever Father releases revelation, whenever Father's doing things, he's releasing it in his creation. So it's not just one person that's walking in it. It's not just one person that's catching it. It's for all of creation to hear it and to respond and begin to come into the reality of it. Okay, so it's very key for us to just, And I believe a lot of people that are listening to the teachings and podcasts that are up on the website, and even, you know, some of the other ministries that are tracking with what's going on, you know, with this message of the manifestation of the sons of God, that revelation and that message is increasing. That message is becoming little by little more mainstream, and there will be a day where that will be a mainstream message in the body of Christ. You know, and I don't know what the time frame is, if it's 3 years, 5 years, but that message is one of the key messages that God is releasing now. And so it's that message that lines up with the trumpet of the seventh month. And so what Father was showing me in the feast basically is that Jesus, all of the feasts were fulfilled in Christ. You know, some people are going to argue that Jesus was born on Christmas Day, and others, you know, and there's basically two camps of thought. There's two schools of thought pertaining to the birth of Christ. One is Christmas. The other one is during the seventh month, during Tabernacles, is when he was, you know, possibly born, of which I would fall into that camp of people that all of the feasts were fulfilled, and he was revealed and fulfilled in all of the feasts. So he didn't leave any one of them unfulfilled. And so if he came and tabernacled among us, then, you know, scripturally, you could definitely argue that point that he was born during Tabernacles. So because of just even the scripture in John 1 that I've already quoted, that he came and tabernacled among us. And so then he was the fulfillment of Passover, and then Holy Spirit was the fulfillment of Pentecost. So Father has fulfilled all of the feasts through his Son and his Spirit. And so the reality of that, the fulfillment of that, is going to come forth in us as well. And so the picture is Passover is the door. When you look in Exodus, when God instituted the Passover for the Israelites, it pertained to a door and the blood of the sacrificial lamb but being put over the mantles and posts so that death would pass over. And so when we begin our relationship, when we come into salvation, the first thing that we're going to go through is that door, and that door is Jesus Christ. Just like he said, I am the door, I am the way. And so it is that door of Passover that we walk through first. And then as we come into salvation, then we're going to get to that place of Pentecost. And it's that place of Pentecost where we, you know, we're going to have a choice. We have a choice to receive the baptism of the Spirit, to believe and to receive the baptism of the Spirit, the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit being evident in our life. Or we can say, no, I don't believe that's for today. I don't think that's of God, or whatever the reasoning is. It doesn't really matter. The point is that individual just said no to the fulfillment of Pentecost in their own life. And so, unfortunately, a lot of the body of Christ, or some of the body of Christ, is stuck in Passover. They're stuck in that in-between place from the door and Pentecost. They're somewhere in between the door and Pentecost. And then, you know, you've got the another portion of the body of Christ that has received the baptism of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, that they've received the reality of the feast of Pentecost. And so the other interesting type and shadow that's going on with Pentecost is during that time is the grain harvest, the wheat, the barley, the corn, the grain is coming in. And so what I felt like the Lord was showing me with that is in the grain harvest speaks of the sifting, it speaks of the threshing floor, it speaks of the restoration of the soul, and it speaks of the wheat and the chaff being separated. You know, the things of God and the things that are not of God being separated by the wind of His Spirit coming into the soul, bringing healing and restoration. And so then you go through the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth month, and those are considered dark months. And there's a bunch of ideas or thoughts and whatever about those months. But the seventh month, when you look at, okay, obviously the number seven speaks of completion and perfection. And then the other reality of the seventh month is that during that period, that's when the fruit harvest begins to come in. And so it's the fruit, the wine, the oil, you know, the grapes and the olives and those kinds of things, the fruit beginning to be harvested. And so that speaks of the fruit of the Spirit beginning to harvest, to appropriate and to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, because seven speaks of completion and perfection, which is maturity. So a mature son is going to come into the fulfillment and reality of the seventh month. And so the trumpet in the seventh month speaks of the voice of the Lord. And so that was when you go back into Revelation, and it says that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Okay? Let's go into Revelation 1 real quick. Revelation 1 verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Okay? And then verse 15, it says, his feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Okay? So the point, and there's many other scriptures that speak of the voice of the Lord as being like a trumpet. The prophets in the Old Testament, there's several verses that speak of the prophets releasing, sounding like a trumpet, releasing the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord coming forth through his prophets as like a trumpet. And so the trumpet speaks of the voice of the Lord. The trumpet speaks of the voice of the Lord being released, releasing the revelation of the seventh month, releasing the revelation of the manifested sons. And it is within the sound of that voice, it is within the sound of that trumpet that the revelation is being released. And just in Romans, as it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is that word, it is that word that is in the sound of that trumpet, that word as like the sound of a trumpet being blown, and it is that word that is being released into creation, and those that have ears to hear are responding to what it means to become a son, to be a son, to manifest as a son, and to begin to go in, to begin to enter into that process of healing and restoration, and knowing first and foremost that I'm a spirit that has that I'm. This is what I say all the time. I have a spirit. I am a spirit being, and I'm learning how to govern my soul and steward my body. I'm learning how to live inside out, right side up. I am first and foremost spirit and light, then a soul and a body. And so as God just takes us through that process, and to begin to understand the reality and the fulfillment of the seventh month in our life, that will be the fulfillment, that will be the revealing of the sons of God, of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so here again, the prophetic picture is Passover is the door, the way in. Pentecost is the gifts, the baptism of the Spirit, and the seventh month is that revealing of the sons, the manifestation of the sons, and hearing the voice of the Lord. Now the picture that God gave me pertaining to his trumpet is like on a coax cable. That little piece of cable that brings in all those hundreds of channels to the cable box on your connected to the TV. Within that cable, or on that cable, is a signal, a digital signal that is carrying all of those pieces of information on a certain amount of bandwidth. And so it's literally like there's hundreds of television stations coming across that one coax cable, and it's all of that information is there, and all you have to do is click on the right channel, go to the right channel, and then you can watch whatever TV program you're wanting to watch. And so it was like the voice of the Lord the Lord was just showing me that picture of like his voice is like that. It's a sound, and within that sound is the revelation of so many things pertaining to sonship. And so as we just learn how to listen, we learn, you know, as our ears become more open to hear the sound of the trumpet of his voice and what he's saying today, so that we can respond and enter into this process and enter into the reality of becoming a son more and more. And so the other part of this is going to bring us into the tabernacles, the tabernacle of David being restored. And so that's mentioned in Amos chapter 9, verse 11. So let's turn over there. So Amos 9, verse 11. It says, "On that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old." All right, that word tabernacle is the word sukkah, which is a temporary dwelling made of boughs and branches. It just speaks of a temporary dwelling, okay? And it's not, it doesn't have to do with, see, this is the thing, is that it has to do with David, just David himself, his heart, and his relationship with God. And I believe in John 4, that was Jesus announcing that fulfillment. Jesus was announcing the reality of that tabernacle being restored to the woman at the well. Okay? So here again, in Amos 9, verse 11, it speaks of the sukkah. It speaks of the temporary dwelling place of David that David established in his day. And it speaks of that booth. And so in John chapter 4, with Jesus and the woman at the well, this is in verse 21. He says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And so I believe that those couple of scriptures right there was Jesus announcing that the time had now come for the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And Jesus was the first fruit of that. He was the fulfillment and the reality of that. And he's the type and the shadow. He's the picture. He's the standard for us to look at as a manifested son. And so for us to believe that we can know that same place of tabernacling with the Father. We can know that same place of relationship with the Father. When we look at Jesus's life, that we can just begin to believe and know that that's what the Father has for us. That's what the Father longs for us to come into the knowledge of him. It says that that is eternal life. Eternal life is to know him, the one true God. And so it is the Father's desire for us to know him in that same place that Yeshua, that Jesus knew the Father. And so all we have to do is simply begin to believe that it's possible for us to be filled to the fullness, that we don't have to die before we experience the fullness of God, before we walk in the fullness and the reality of Christ in us being fully formed. You know, it's where it says in Ephesians, you know, growing up into the head, into that of all things of that which is Christ, growing up into the head, Christ being fully formed in us. And so it's that tabernacling that the sons are going to know the reality of that more and more. And the other place that the tabernacle of David is mentioned in the scriptures is Acts 15. It's at the Council of Jerusalem, and that's when the apostles were wrestling and arguing and debating about what do we do with the Gentiles, you know? And then I believe it's James that stood up and he addressed the apostles. Yeah, it's in verse 13, Acts 15, verse 13. So James stood up and he says, you know, he's talking about the Gentiles and Simon declaring that God, you know, visited them, and he says, as with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, and after this I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. And so that's the New Testament reference for the tabernacle of David. And so the apostles were there, just James making that observation that this is in agreement with the prophets and what Amos prophesied in his day about, you know, God coming and restoring the tabernacle and all mankind, both Jew and Gentile, coming into the reality of that tabernacle, okay? And so the other thing to point out with David's tabernacle is that there was no veil in the tabernacle, that the Ark of the Covenant was sitting in that tent. The tent that David pitched for the Ark of the Covenant was sitting there with the minstrels and the prophets in there 24/7, worshiping, prophesying, and praising God in the midst of that tent. But at the same time, there were the tabernacle of Moses was at Gibeon. And the whole time that David was king, Zadok the high priest was there at Gibeon, still offering the sacrifices daily that were commanded by the Torah, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord being in the tent of David in Jerusalem. And so you have in David's reign as king, you had the tabernacle of Moses was still in effect, was still operating, fulfilling the Torah, the commandments that God had given them to in the observance of that tabernacle. And so the priests were there doing and offering all of the sacrifices and offerings that were to be offered. And the Ark of the Covenant was taken out of the tabernacle of Moses and put into the tabernacle of David in Jerusalem. And so there's so much just to even look at pertaining to that. But the focus is that the tabernacle of David is what's being restored, where there is no veil. And, you know, and that even brings us into the Day of Atonement in the seventh month. And that is the day when the high priest passed beyond the veil to offer the blood and the golden censer, the incense, and, you know, for the smoke of the incense to fill up the Holy of Holies to be that covering, you know. And for the high priest to offer the blood on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement. So even in the seventh month, for us to know the reality of going beyond the veil, of living in that place of the Holy of Holies, and this flesh, no longer identifying with this flesh, but finally realizing, you know, that we're spirit, and living out of our spirit more and more. And even realizing that I believe we're coming into, you know, at some point in the days to come, that, you know, we are just the possibility and the reality of that our body is going to begin to go where our spirit is. And there's already people that are doing this in the earth. We just don't get to hear about them as much as I would like to. But as you've heard me say before, all things are being restored. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible for those who believe. So if we've been given all things in Christ, then my heart, my focus is I want to know what those things are, because I want to know what to believe for. And as I can know what to believe for, as those things are revealed, and then I can begin to lock in and meditate and begin to build a grid for the belief of those things, then Father, Holy Spirit can meet me in that and bring me into the reality of whatever that's about. And so our part, as I've shared before, is to just simply believe, and then Father, whatever Father wants to do with that, it's up to Him, because ultimately it comes back to His perfect will and His word pertaining to each and every one of us individually and then corporately. But it's always going to come back to His perfect will and His word for each and every one of us. This isn't about us growing up and getting all this power and authority and going and doing our own thing and blah, blah, what we think is best and all that stuff. That's the very thing that God is going after in each and every one of us, to fully lay down and surrender our life, our will, and everything about us, to be totally conformed to His word and His will. And because when you think about it, consider the power and authority that Jesus walked in the earth when He was here. He had all power and authority to set up His kingdom. He could have removed the Romans. He could have established his kingship there in Jerusalem, but that was not according to the Father's word. That was not the Father's perfect will for him at that moment. The Father's perfect will for him was to lay down his life, to offer up his body, to be that perfect sacrifice, so that the curse of sin and death could be broken off of creation, so that many sons could come into the kingdom, so that many sons could be birthed into the kingdom. And so that's the reality of that. That's the truth. That's the thing that we need to begin to realize, to understand, that it's going to be that kind of obedience. It's going to be that kind of self-control and obedience and just discipline to walk in that place with Father God, and to know that, you know, we could curse the fig tree. We could do whatever we wanted to do, but to walk in that place of obedience, to walk in that place of surrender, so that we can fully manifest and reveal the Father into his creation again, and his perfect word, his word and his perfect will coming forth. And so there's some other verses that I want to throw out there to you pertaining to just the tabernacling, and some things that I've just a couple verses in particular. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. All right, so I want to point out that verse right there, Paul is describing that eternal house in the heavens is you, and is you in your spirit, is your spirit, okay? So I'm going to read on. Verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So the other scripture that I want to read with that is in 2 Corinthians 12, and that's where Paul is talking about himself, saying, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So he's talking about being in the body or out of the body. He couldn't discern the difference. He didn't know if he was fully in his body or fully out of his body. But the one thing that I want to point out in the passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 is that first in verse 1 it says, if. It says, if this earthly tent is destroyed, if. It doesn't say anywhere in those eight scriptures that you have to die. It doesn't speak one time about dying or having to die or waiting for death and all this other stuff that we've been taught about death. And if you go back and listen to, death has been defeated, and the covenant of perfection, some of the other teachings that are on the website, I get into that a little bit more, that we've been given life. And I will go ahead and throw this scripture out there because I don't know if it's on one of the teachings or not, but this is one that I've really latched on to in the last couple months, and it's in 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, and it says, I'm going to back up into verse 9. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. I'm going to say that again. It's in the Bible. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, Okay? So in that scripture, 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, it clearly says that death has been abolished. All right? So the thing is, going back to the idea of what I'm pointing out in 2 Corinthians 5 is, whether in the body or out of the body, whether present here or present there, that passage does not speak about death being involved. Okay? The reality is that we've been given life, death has been defeated, and the only reason that death has anything, the only reason that death is still at work is because of sin. And when there is no sin, there is no death. And so now that we know that we can, you know, now that we know that it's possible for us to come into the reality of having a fully restored soul, so that we too can know the verse that Jesus said, where Jesus said, the enemy is coming, but he has nothing in me. All we've got to do is believe that that's possible, and God will take care of the rest. We just have to co-labor with him. We just have to say yes to him so that he can do that work in us, so that Jesus finished and paid the price of the wages of sin. He paid every debt. He paid in full everything that was owed by each and every one of us. By his death and resurrection, the payment was made so that we could receive life. So as we have received life, even within our mortal bodies, the spirit within us that raised him from the dead, living in us, is giving life to our mortal bodies. So even our bodies are being changed by that life that's resonating in us as we learn how to cultivate, as we learn how to have just deeper, greater relationship with the Father and the Spirit, and just higher heights, deeper depths, wider widths, and a wider breadth for the love of Christ to be revealed to us, to be filled to the fullness of God. And so in that 2 Corinthians, it doesn't talk about death, but it talks about our spirit in heaven. And we already know scripturally that we've been seated in the heavenly places. We're already there now in our spirit. And so I know part of this is us learning how to consciously become, to basically transfer, if you want to call it transferring our consciousness. Because like right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm more conscious and aware of this earthly temporal realm. But we're learning how to, at the blink of an eye, be fully conscious in our spirit in the heavens where we're seated, where we're at now with the Father. And so, think about this. Jesus, he walked through crowds. He walked on the water. He hid himself in the temple where they couldn't find him. He did all these supernatural things, okay? So consider this. A fully manifested son that's walking in the fullness of God, that's living, that's just in that place of complete, utter perfection, maturity, and wholeness in him, manifested as a mature son. But let's add this thought, that if at your will, the desire of your heart is to go, bam, to go be before the throne, to go into the courts, to go wherever, that you can go there at will, how much greater in that day will you understand your purpose and why it is that you're in the earth, because you know that you don't have to be here, because now you know how to be in the heavens. And the only reason that you're here is because Father God has something for you to do as a son. Because all things are being restored, and the sons of God are going to take part in that restoration of all things. And so, like you've heard me say before, we have a part to play in this. So just even begin to think about the possibility of that, the reality of that, of knowing that as you learn how to engage in the heavens, and you get to a place where your body is going to where your spirit is, and you can go there on purpose at will, whenever, however that you want to be there, that when you're here in the earth and you're doing your job and you're doing the family thing and the ministry thing and all the other parts of your life that God has for you to do, how much greater the purpose and the confidence and the ability to do those things, because you know that you could be in heaven, you know that you could be there, but now you're in the earth. knowing that you're fulfilling the will of the Lord, knowing that you're accomplishing the things that He set before you to do, and that you have an assignment, you have a function and a purpose, even more so, with even more clarity and understanding than you've ever had before, because you're going in and out regularly. You're coming before the throne. You're interacting with the Elohim and the sons of God that are still there, the sons of God that did not fall, the Elohim that did not forsake their first estate, the councils and the courts and all of the hosts of heaven, the cloud of witnesses and everything that is there for us to partake of, everyone and everything that is there in the heavens for us to come into the reality of, to sit before, to sit in those councils and chambers, and the revelation, the truth, and the understanding that Father has for us to receive and to be revealed in each and every one of us. So how much more so when we're walking in the earth, will we understand the purpose and the function of why are we in the earth and what are we doing in the earth? It's going to become even more clear for each and every one of us as we just learn how to go in and out at the blink of an eye, as it just becomes so natural an effort for us that to take it another step forward. Just as Jesus said, I have been given all power and authority, and I willingly lay my life down. No man takes my life. No man takes my life from me, but I willingly lay my life down. So I'm telling you, as a manifested son, that you have been fully in Christ, been given the victory over sin and death, that death has nothing in you or on you. Then it'll be because Father said, if it is His will for you to die, then it will be that place of Him revealing today, you're to be martyred today, and I want you to lay down your life today, or his, however that might be revealed. But it will be a willing choice of obedience for a manifested son, just like it was for Jesus to willingly lay down our life. Because that's what a manifested son is going to walk in. Is that kind of obedience. If the Father says, today I'm asking for your life to be laid down, your work is finished, and I'm asking you to lay down your life today. And then out of that place of obedience, we will be able to say yes, knowing that our work is finished, knowing that what Father had for us to do, that we've completed and fulfilled those things, and Father is saying, now, I'm asking for your life today. And just as Jesus did, So too will some of the sons. Maybe not, maybe so. I'm not sure, but it's something, it's a possibility, and it's something for us to ponder and ask Him about, because that's still that place of obedience that Father wants us to come into. It's that same place of obedience that Yeshua walked in the Father. And so as you begin to hear the trumpet of the seventh month, as you begin to hear the voice of the Lord and the revelation and the truth that Father is releasing in His creation, that the sons of God are going to fulfill the seventh month, and that Christ is going to be fulfilled, Christ is going to be revealed in His feast through the sons of God. And as we learn how to understand these things and come into agreement and obedience, amen, all things are being restored. The restoration of all things has already begun to happen, and all things are being restored even now today. Whether we understand it or realize it or not, it has begun. And the trumpet has begun to sound. I don't have a date or a time, but I know that the trumpet of the seventh month has begun to sound. It's been at least 2009. It might have been a little bit before that. I'm not sure. But I know for me, I began to hear the trumpet of that month beginning to blow about becoming a manifested son, about being a son, about being spirit, about entering into the heavens, about taking my place as a son, receiving my inheritance, and occupying the land so that the restoration of all things could take place. So I know for me personally, I began to hear that trumpet blowing in about 2009 is when I began to hear the voice of the Lord and the trumpet releasing the revelation of the manifested sons, calling forth the sons, that trumpet releasing that clarion call filled with revelation for the sons to hear and to respond and to come into the reality of being a son in our Father's house and in His kingdom, walking in His ways. And the other thing that I want to point out about the knowledge of His ways being restored, as His ways are restored to us, sometimes that's going to look maybe a little religious to some people. And that's why we don't need to judge. We don't need to let anyone judge us about food, festival, new moon, feast, Sabbaths, or anything. And we don't need to judge another. I just need to know the word of the Lord for myself, personally and individually, and knowing that I'm being obedient to that word. And just as it says in the Bible, he's bringing all of us to different places of glory, going from glory to glory. In Romans 1, it says faith to faith, bringing us from faith to faith. So every individual is in a different place in their relationship with God. And so the only thing that is for us to do is to love each other, to edify each other, to speak life to each other, to embrace each other, and to even understand Romans 14 when Paul is talking about, you know, if my brother is of weaker faith and doesn't eat meat, then I'm not going to eat meat with him. I'm not going to offend him. I'm not going to be the stumbling block for his faith. And we've got to understand that. We've got to understand how to embrace those that are in different places of glory, that may not be walking in the same realms of glory and understanding that you might be walking in. And it is not to offend, and it is not to cause them to stumble and fall. It is to love them, to edify them, and to hopefully they can make the choice to come up. Hopefully they can say yes to the process. Hopefully they can say yes to being baptized in the Spirit. Hopefully they can say yes to understanding the restoration of the soul. Hopefully they can say yes to receiving their inheritance. Hopefully they can say yes to occupying the land. Hopefully they can say yes to redeeming their inheritance, for the restoration of all things in their own life. Hopefully they can say yes to taking their place in the heavens as a son, and to manifest, to rule and to reign according to the Father's will and word for them personally. So there's so many things that we have to say yes to, so many choices that we're going to be faced with, continually faced with as we walk this out. And so as the body of Christ, we have to learn, you know, my heart is to not offend anyone. My heart is for the truth, and I just want to know the truth, and I want to share the truth. I want the truth to be revealed to me, and then part of my function or assignment is to share the truth that God has given to me. And whatever someone does with that truth, they're not rejecting me. They're not doing anything pertaining to me. That's between them and God. All I've done is I've shared the truth, and whatever they want to do with that is between them and the Lord. And that's where we need to get. And I just pray and believe that God is going to bring us into that place more and more where, you know, that scripture in Corinthians where it says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so this is not about knowledge. This is not about, you know, learning and knowing all this other stuff about the Spirit and the things of heaven just for the sake of knowledge. It's so that we can manifest as sons. And as we manifest as sons, we're going to receive the fullness of the love of Christ. And hopefully, in Jesus' name, that measure of love will be released in and around us. That measure of love will be released to any and all people that we come into contact with, that we get to interact with. That love will be released more and more, and it will become more evident, the fruits of the Spirit being produced in our life. And so that's the thing also in the seventh month, that the fruit harvest is in the seventh month, and a manifested son will produce the harvest. The manifested son will produce a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a guy named Kirby, I can't think of his last name, but he's the guy that hasn't eaten in like 10 months, and he has caught the revelation of living off the Word of God and producing the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit sustaining him. So I'm telling you, there's already people in the earth that are manifesting. They're forerunning in some stuff, and they're manifesting the reality of what's possible for the rest of us. And we've got to discern, and we've got to make the choice. Is that of God, and do I want that? Because we're all going to be faced with that choice. As people, as God raises up individuals to manifest and to forerun in some stuff that we haven't heard or seen of before, then when we get exposed to those people and to those things, we're faced with a choice in that moment. Obviously, first and foremost, we always need to discern by the Spirit, is that of God or not? And then once we discern that that's God, then we're going to have to wrestle that thing out and say, yes or no, I want that, or nope, I don't want nothing to do with that. He's always going to give us that choice. And so, you know, my prayer for me is that I will continue to be able to say yes. That once I discern that it's him, that I will say yes so that I can come into the reality of everything that He wants me to walk in and to manifest as a son. And I pray that I would not get stuck. I pray that I would not let fear shut me down, that I would not let unbelief rule in me, but that out of by discernment, by the unction and leading of His Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, I will allow the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth so that I can manifest as a son. And so I just bless you today, and just for this seed to go forth, and for each and every one of us that have heard, that are hearing, that we would continue to hear and see, and that we would stay in sync with our Father, that we would continue to walk this out, and for the feast of the seventh month to become a reality and a fulfillment in our own life, that we would manifest as a son, and that we would know the reality of tabernacling with our Father, that we would know that just being one, completely one with Him. We know it by faith. We know that by faith, but we're not yet living in the reality of that. We're not experientially, we don't yet experientially have the knowledge to the fullest of that at the moment, but it's coming. And so I pray for each and every one of us that we will continue to say yes, that we will continue to be surrendered and yielding to what Father God is doing in creation, what He has for you specifically as an individual in your family, in your community and neighborhood, in the city and nation, where you're at in the earth. And every good thing that the Father has for you, that you would discern and know His good will, that you would discern and know His good pleasure for you, and that you would know how to say yes, that you would know how to just continue to co-labor and yield to the process that He's got for you to walk through, and that you would just be able to continue to move through that and to come into greater places of glory, greater places of faith in Him, and continuing to grow for Christ to come forth in each and every one of us, and for all of us, for all of us to collectively, as the body, as this group of people that's hearing the trumpet of the seventh month to awaken the sons and releasing the revelation of the sons into creation, that each and every one of us, and those that have yet heard, those that have yet to hear the trumpet sounding in the seventh month, that even they that will come at an appointed time, even they that will come at a little later date, that they may not be hearing it yet, it'll be okay. It's okay. They're right where they're supposed to be, and God knows when they're going to hear. God knows when they're going to come in. And so, Father, even today, we bless, Father, everyone, young and old, in the earth, Father, that you already know, that you've already destined and ordained, Father, to hear the call, to hear the trumpet of the seventh month, and to ascend into your hill, Father, to receive our inheritance, to occupy the land so that the restoration of all things can take place. And so, Father, today I bless each and every person, Father, that is already hearing, and those that have yet to hear, Father, the trumpet sounding in the seventh month. Father, the trumpet that's sounding and releasing the revelation of sonship, Father, the trumpet that is releasing your word, Father, pertaining to the manifestations of your sons. And so, Father, I bless them, each and every one now, Father, and I thank you for their appointed time, Father, for ordering their steps, and Father, for the times and seasons that you are bringing them into. And I just thank you, Father, Lord, for that moment, for those that have yet to hear, Father, for that moment that you've ordained for them to hear, Father, the reality of being a son and beginning to enter into that place, Father, in you and with you as a son. And so I just thank you, Father, Lord, for just continuing to reveal, Father, the feast, continuing to reveal, Father, your times and calendars, just your calendar, Father, the days and seasons. Father, and just continuing to reveal these things, Father, Lord, for the restoration, Father, for the knowledge of your ways being restored, Father, Lord, I ask for eyes and ears for each and every one of us to see and to know, Father, the knowledge of your ways, Father, to receive the revelation of the knowledge of your ways that has been lost in the generations, Father, and I just thank you, Father, for the knowledge of your ways being restored to each and every one of us so that we can come into the reality of those things, so that we can cast the right shadow in creation, so that heaven can be made manifest, so that heaven can come, and everything, the government, dominion, and power and authority of heaven and Jesus Christ can come forth in creation through your sons. And so I just thank you, Father, Lord, for all that you're doing, and Father, just to continue to walk this out with you. And I just thank you, Father, and just bless you, and just give you praise and glory and honor, Father. And I bless all of those, Father, that would hear this message. And Father, even Father, as it just goes out more and more, Father, and just all of the other people, Father, all of the other ministries, Father, that are sharing the revelation of these things. Father, I just thank you for the forerunners. Father, I thank you for raising up the reformers. I thank you, Father, for releasing the forerunners to run in those things that are possible, to reveal what is possible to the rest of us, Father. And so I bless the forerunners, Father, that you've already released, and those that you even have hidden, Father, and waiting for that moment for them to be released, Father, to reveal, Father, something in creation that speaks of you, to reveal something of what is possible by the Spirit, to reveal the reality of what a son can walk in. And so, Father, I just bless the reformers and the forerunners today, Father, and just thank you for them, and I plead the blood of Jesus over them, Father, Lord, for strength, for encouragement, Father, and Lord, for those people that you would gather around them, Father, those that would bless them and encourage them, and Father, just to lock arms and to be able to run with them, Father, and to be encouragement, Father. And so I just thank you, Father, for the forerunners in this day, and I do bless them and lift them up to you, Father, and I pray that we would find them, Father. I pray that we would find the forerunners, Father. I pray that we would see them, that we would hear them, that we would recognize them, Father, that we would discern and know who they are, Father, and that we would be able to receive the revelation and the truth of what you've given to them to release and to reveal in your creation. And so, Father, I ask for eyes and ears, Father, to see and to discern and to know, Father, the forerunners and the reformers that you're raising up in creation, in the earth, in this hour, Father, for us to not be dull and blind to what you're doing, Father, but to see and to hear and to respond, Father, to what you're doing and to come into agreement with you, Father, and to fulfill and accomplish every good thing that you have for each and every one of us. And so I just bless you and just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.